Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26, this is God's word. There was another famine in the land in addition to the one that had occurred in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, at Gerar. The Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land that I tell you about. Stay in this land as an alien, and I will be with you and bless you. For I will give all these lands to you and your offspring, and I will confirm the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky. I will give your offspring all these lands, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring, because Abraham listened to me and kept my mandate, my commands, my statutes, and my instructions." So Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." For he was afraid to say, "My wife," thinking, "The men of the place will kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is a beautiful woman." When Isaac had been there for some time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from the window and was surprised to see Isaac caressing his wife, Rebekah. Abimelech sent for Isaac and said, "So she is really your wife? How could you say she is my sister?" Isaac answered him, "Because I thought I might die on account of her." Then Abimelech said, "What is this you've done to us? One of the people could easily have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us." So Abimelech warned all the people, "Whoever harms this man or his wife will certainly be put to death." Isaac sowed seed in that land, and in that year he reaped 100 times what was sown. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and kept getting richer until he was very wealthy. He had flocks of sheep, herds of cattle, and many slaves, and the Philistines were envious of him. Philistines stopped up all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the days of his father Abraham, filling them with dirt. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Leave us, for you are much too powerful for us." So Isaac left there, camped in the Gerar Valley, and lived there. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, and that the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. He gave them the same names his father had given them. Then Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of spring water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, "The water is ours." So he named the well Essek, because they argued with him. Then they dug another well and quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitna. He moved from there and dug another, and they did not quarrel over it. He named it Rehoboth and said, "For now the Lord has made space for us, and we will be fruitful in the land." From there he went up to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him that night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your offspring because of my servant Abraham. So he built an altar there, called on the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. Isaac's servants also dug a well there. Now Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, his advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his army. Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me? You hated me and sent me away from you." They replied, "We have clearly seen how the Lord has been with you. We think there should be an oath between two parties, between us and you. Let us make a covenant with you. You will not harm us, just as we have not harmed you, but have done only what was good to you, sending you away in peace. You are now blessed by the Lord." So he prepared a banquet for them, and they ate and drank. They got up early in the morning and swore an oath to each other. Isaac sent them on their way, and they left him in peace. On that same day, Isaac's servants came to tell him about the well they had dug, saying to him, "We have found water." He called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is still Beersheba today. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as his wives Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hethite, and Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hethite, and they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We've said that the main job Isaac had in life was to carry on the line. That was his biggest accomplishment. There's some stuff in here about wells, some that were reopened, new ones that were dug, some of which were lost, one of which was kept. But what did he accomplish in his life? Well, he got rich. He already had wealth. He had inherited everything, basically, from Abraham, who was wealthy. But the Lord blessed him and prospered him, and he got even more. But he didn't accomplish the kind of stuff his dad had. And yet, he did something that his father did. He repeated his father's mistake. God appears to him and says, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give everything that was promised to your descendants, and through them the whole earth is going to be blessed." But when he goes to spend time among the Philistines, he did what his father did. He pretends that his wife is his sister. That's a cowardly thing to do. And it is an evil thing to do. It was lying. His dad at least had the lousy excuse that, well, she really is my half-sister. Certainly that was not true of Rebecca. They were cousins, but that wasn't his sister. So why did he do this? Because instead of trusting in the Lord, he feared men. Folks, the fear of man, the fear of what others will think and what others will do, will lead you to do things you should not do. How many times you look back over your life, how many times have you done things that you knew you shouldn't because you were afraid of what other people would think or what other people would say or what other people would do? And Scripture teaches us that if you live that way, you're failing to fear the Lord as you should. If you fear the Lord in the right way, you reverence Him, then you don't have to fear anybody else. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I don't have to be afraid of what other people think. I don't have to be afraid of what other people do, because even if I were to be killed, I'm going to be fine. It is a tremendous peace and confidence and joy that comes of trusting in the Lord. To fear the Lord and to trust the Lord are not opposites. They are part of the same. When we fear the Lord, we recognize that He is God. He is in charge. He sees everything. He knows everything. And He's in charge of everything. And so nobody can harm me without going through God. Whatever happens to me, God's still in control. We read the book of Job, and we see that Satan was able to bring great disaster in Job's life, but he had to get permission from God first. So you look at your own life and painful things you've been through, and you say, you mean God let that happen? Yes. The God who is God, who upholds the universe by the word of His power, He is sovereignly working all things together for the good of those who love Him. Well, I don't understand how this could possibly be good. I know in the scriptures there are things that people do that anger God. So how can God possibly be in control? Because God has chosen to allow people the capacity for choice. And God has chosen to allow the enemy during a limited period of time, and we have no grasp of how short this life is. But during a limited period of time, God has allowed the enemy to do things. But the most evil injustice that has ever occurred was what was done to Jesus. And it was the means by which our sovereign Lord brought salvation to us. We need to realize that God is always at work in every situation for the good of His children.
If you enjoy learning about biblical truths on abiding in Christ, you won't want to miss this opportunity to join Jim Wood as you journey to the land of the Bible, Israel. Preaching since he was only 15 years old, Jim is well prepared to share insights at each location you visit. Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel. Again, visit wvr.org/Israel to learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, when we look at this, Isaac was given a beautiful reaffirmation of the promise that had been given to Abraham. Verse 2, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land that I tell you about. Stay in this land as an alien, and I'll be with you and bless you." Two parts of that. I will be with you and bless you. To know Him, to know fellowship with Him. Folks, there is nothing better. There is nothing in this life that is as wonderful as God Himself. I will be with you and bless you. For I will give all these lands to you and your offspring, and I will confirm the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky. I will give your offspring all these lands, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring. Now, on the one hand, if you look at how God has blessed humanity through the accomplishments of the Jewish people in medicine, in technology, in the arts, you could say that that was fulfilled just in that regard. God has used the Jewish people in an absolutely extraordinary way, but that's not ultimately what this is about. The means by which this is ultimately fulfilled reside in the person of Jesus Christ. Because the best medicine, the best scientific invention, the best accomplishment in music or art, all goes away when we breathe our last. You can pay somebody to do work for you, to run errands for you, to cook your meals, to clean your house, to build your house, to do any number of things. But you know what you can't pay somebody to do for you? Take your place in the hospital bed when you're dying. Nobody can do it. Doesn't matter how much money you have. You can't pay somebody to die in your place. But Jesus did. He died to take the punishment that we deserve for our sins. And by his death and resurrection, he brought forgiveness and eternal life to all people all over the world who trust in him. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so the fulfillment of this verse, of this promise, is not about science and art and those kinds of accomplishments, as wonderful as those are. The ultimate fulfillment of this verse is Jesus. It is through him that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. One day, there will be people from every tribe and tongue gathered at the throne of God, worshiping him because they were bought by the blood of the Lamb. And what does he say here in verse 5? Because Abraham listened to me and kept my mandate, my commands, my statutes, and my instructions. What? Because of that what? Not only will the whole earth be blessed, but he says, Isaac, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you not because you're such a wonderful guy, but I'm going to do this because, I'm going to bless you because of Abraham. Therefore, it is all the more embarrassing, all the more shameful that Isaac did what he did. He practiced deception regarding his relationship with his wife. Now, if there's any positive in my view for why this is here, it magnifies the grace of God. It shows us that in spite of Isaac being cowardly and deceitful, God still blessed him. Amazing! How can God bless somebody like that? Well, how can God bless somebody like us? God doesn't say, I'm going to watch, and if you don't mess up anything ever, I'll reward you. He doesn't say that. God blesses sinful people. That doesn't make sin okay. It doesn't mean there aren't consequences. But it does mean that God in his mercy and grace chooses to bless people like us. Jesus came to save sinners. There isn't anybody else on the planet. Jesus is the only one who never sinned. The rest of us need a Savior. So, Abimelech, you'd think he would have learned with Abraham, but now he has to experience the same thing with Isaac. Abimelech sends him back out into the populace saying, whoever harms this man or his wife will certainly be put to death. And so Isaac sows seed in the land and reaped 100 times what was sown. That's a good return on investment. Why? The Lord blessed him. That's why. And the man became rich and kept getting richer until he was very wealthy. But the Philistines were envious of him. Do not envy the rich. Don't wish that you had what they have. Because let me tell you something, God knows best. You seek Him, pursue His will, and as you obey Him, He'll bless you with whatever is best for you. Last night I was at a dinner honoring my brother for his wonderful long ministry in Knoxville. And the evening was kicked off by the governor of Tennessee welcoming everybody and telling a few funny stories about my brother. And then person after person spoke in this ballroom before thousands of people. And it was a beautiful tribute to what God has done through my brother's ministry over the last 28 years. It's tremendous. And afterwards, I went up and I hugged my brother. And he said, "Oh, man, I didn't know you were going to be here." I said, "I wouldn't have missed it." And he said, "I would have." Because as more than one person noted during the evening, the most miserable person in the room was my brother. He doesn't want everybody focused on him. And that's one reason God's been able to use him as he has. It's because he's not saying, "Hey, look at me." He has, thank God, had a habit of saying, "Look at him. Look at him. Look at Jesus." Folks, don't be envious of others. God has you where he wants you because he loves you. He has a plan for you, and it's a good plan. Trust in him. So, the Lord appears, verse 23, the Lord appears to Isaac again and says, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your offspring because of my servant Abraham." And so Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And Isaac's servants also dug a well there. Then the people who had envied him and who had sent him away come to him and they say, "We can see that God's hand is on you." Same thing they said to Abraham. "We can see that God's hand is on you. Please make a covenant with us that you won't harm us." They feared him. They feared him. They had an army. He didn't have an army. But they recognized that he had the Lord. And this is going to be the truth about generation after generation after generation. Because of God's blessing, his sovereign choice of blessing these people, the people around them will eventually recognize this isn't about them. This is about their relationship with him. God is blessing them. Therefore, there's a sense of fear on the part of the Philistines. "Please, make a treaty with us. Make a covenant with us. Promise you won't harm us." Because they know God is on his side. Folks, I want you to live a life that will cause people to recognize God is with them. God is at work. You know why the ranch has been able for over 25 years to take care of kids without regard to whether or not the children's families can pay for them to be here? Why we've been able to give scholarships to so many kids and never go in debt and never take any government funds? Do you know why? Because of God. It's because God has provided. And that is the secret. I want you to have that blessing in your life. I want you to know that God is faithful and he'll meet every need if you will trust and obey. He won't always do what you want, but he'll always do what is best. Trust him. Trust him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41abide. That's our toll-free number, 866-41abide, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.